Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden, and this is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We're using God's incredible word to provide spiritual fuel for your journey through life. I'm here with my friend and co-worker, Roger Shoust. Roger, we're talking about being heaven-bound. We're framing what that means from the very beginning of this new podcast project. We appreciate our listeners joining us in this journey, and it is indeed a journey. We have kicked off the whole thing by talking about our destination. That's heaven. That is what we want as disciples of Jesus, to be where God is. But between here and being with Him in eternity, we are on a journey. And it is not a journey that we travel by accident. There isn't anyone who is going to suddenly stumble into heaven and be completely surprised as to how they got there. This is an intentional journey. And one of the things that we've tried to get in our minds from the beginning of the whole project is we can know how we are doing on this journey thanks to some fundamental gauges. We've talked about our fuel gauge. We've likened our fuel to our habits, the input, what gets put into our hearts. In our last Friday episode, we talked about the temperature gauge, how that's not simply a thermometer that shows us where we are, but it's more like, in the life of a disciple, a thermostat that is set by Jesus, set on things that are above. And in today's episode, we're talking about the output. We're talking about the speedometer. How are those three things, the speed, the temperature, and the speedometer, related?
Well, good to be with you, Jason, and good to be with all of our listeners. You know, the dashboard, although those are different components, your fuel gauge, your temperature gauge, and your speed gauge, but they're all connected. To have a car running at the optimum it's supposed to be, all three of them have to be functioning and proper. You can have a very expensive sports car. I've been to museums, and I've seen very exotic sports cars. I've seen some world-class race cars. But they're sitting in the museum. There's no fuel in the tank. The temperature gauge is nothing because there's no temperature in the engines. And their speedometer is on zero because it's not moving. Beautiful, beautiful cars. Very expensive cars. But they had no movement. And so as we think about this concept of heaven bound, we need to see that our input, the internal workings of our heart, and now the output, all three of these are connected together. And so today we're going to focus upon that speedometer, the idea of the output. So weekly, daily, I pour God's word into my heart. I'm filling my tank. My fuel gauge is doing great. I'm working on my attitude. I'm working on my internal spirit. I'm working on becoming compassionate and forgiving and kind. That's the temperature gauge. But then the final aspect, so important, is what does all this do to me? How does this change me? And that is the speedometer that we want to talk about, the output. And the output is one of the things that people will notice the most about the Christian. They will notice his attitude. They will notice his words. They will notice his concepts about life and his outlook. And so people will measure us by those things. And this is why the Lord said in the book of Matthew in chapter 5, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. I love that phrase, in such a way. There's a right way and a wrong way to let your light shine. You give a five-year-old a flashlight, the first thing he's going to do is shine it right in your eyeball, and you can't see a thing. That's not the right way to shine your light. So Jesus has this right intentions that we're supposed to do. We should be able to walk this life, and people notice that we're a child of God. Several passages come to our mind along this line. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, When Peter had been arrested for preaching the gospel, the Bible says that they had recognized that they had been with Jesus. It was obvious. And so that's kind of what we want to kind of explore today as we talk about this idea of the speedometer or the output. It's not some weird outfit that we're wearing. It's not halos above our heads, but by the way we treat others, by the way we conduct ourselves, there is an obvious thing that people notice, and that is the output of our lives.
It's what the New Testament refers to as discipleship, right? To be a disciple is to be a student, no doubt. We learn all sorts of things from the master teacher, but a disciple who simply hears what the teacher has to say and sits nicely and respectfully while the teacher is talking, but then doesn't apply, doesn't follow the teacher, doesn't model the teachings of that teacher, that's not really a disciple. I spent quite a bit of time in mid-2019 in a series of sermons bouncing off of Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. It's a simple statement, but such a powerful one to reinforce for us what it looks like when that speedometer is rising and we're making progress. Jesus said, Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Disciples need the teacher, right? That's the input. That's the fuel. Jesus provides the fuel, but there's a time to turn that ignition, to get the engine of our hearts started. We get fuel on Sundays. We get fuel on Wednesday nights. We get fuel from daily Bible reading. We get fuel from Jump Starts Daily. Hopefully you're getting some fuel from even this podcast. But there's a time to turn that engine over and to hit the gas pedal and make some progress. Allow Jesus to train us, train our hearts. Maybe our temperature has run too hot at times, and Jesus trains us to have self-control. Maybe our compassion and our zeal has been a little cold in the past, and Jesus trains us to get that temperature gauge right, where we look at life and ourselves and others the way that God would have us to. The goal of all of this, the disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone when he is fully trained, what's the goal? Will be like his teacher. There's progress being made. We are heaven bound.
You know, it's a concept that we have been taught, now we teach. We have been led, now we lead others. And so it's the idea of passing the baton on. It has been given to us, and now our obligation is to show Jesus Christ to others. There's a couple of contrasting examples that come to my mind as we think about this. In Mark chapter 5, we read about the demon-possessed man. Here was a man that was up in the cemeteries. He had been chained. He'd broken the chains. He was naked. He'd cut himself with the rocks. He was screaming. He was a menace to society. Jesus Christ comes and casts the demons out into the swine. They run off the cliff, and they all drown in the sea. And then the Bible says this man is sitting down, clothed in his right mind. What's happened? He's changed. He has changed. Jesus Christ has changed his life. He's not the same man anymore. And so when we think about that, that's what we're emphasizing today, the idea that I have spent time with Jesus. I've poured the Bible into my life. I've worshiped God. Now there ought to be a change in my life. Now the contrast example to this is in Luke 16 of the rich man Lazarus. There the Bible says that Lazarus was laid at the rich man's gates. Every day as that rich man went in and out to go to town to do his work, he had to go through his gates, and right there was Lazarus. Lazarus wasn't on the other side of the world. He wasn't in some little village in Africa. Nobody knew about him. He was right at the rich man's gates. And the rich man's heart was closed. He had no mercy and no compassion for Lazarus. And so when we think about this, we think about how has Jesus changed my life? That's the concept we want to look at. I want to go through just a few verses with you. It's a really interesting concept that I learned several years ago in the Bible. It comes down to a simple little word, D-O, do. And how many times we find that. For instance, in Matthew chapter 7, as we think about the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We think about Matthew 25, where there we have the judgment scene. And Jesus says, I was naked, and I was hungry, and I was thirsty, and you came and gave me these things. And the disciples said, when did we do those things? And Jesus responded, when you did it to the least, you did it to me. Then we think about Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Paul says, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto others. Christianity is a doing religion. I fear that sometimes we've just turned it into a thinking man's religion. We sit around and we think grand thoughts, but we go home and nothing has changed. What we see here is the speedometer. We see the output. The more I put Jesus in my life, the more Jesus comes out of my life. And the more it has changed my heart and my character and the person that I should be.
Hebrews chapter 11 shows us all sorts of people who have reached the destination, right? The writer in that great chapter of faith reminds us what it took for different men and women, Abraham and Sarah and Moses and David, and so many examples, what it took for them to reach the ultimate destination. And then in Hebrews 12, he reminds us we need to have our eyes fixed on Jesus. He's the founder and the perfecter of our faith, right? He's the one who has shown us the way. He has set the spiritual GPS for us. But there's a time, surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, I have to lay aside the weights. I have to leave behind the sin that can so easily trip me up. I have to run. This is much more than studying Jesus. This is much more than being inspired by examples from Old and New Testaments that have come before me. Christianity, as you have said, is a doing religion. I've got to do the running.
I love the story of a little boy one day at home. He asked his mother, Mommy, what is a Christian? And she went through and talked about, well, a Christian is someone who worships God. A Christian is one who's kind. A Christian is one who's compassionate, caring. She goes through a whole list of things. And then the little boy asks his mother, have I ever seen such one? And that's kind of what we need to talk about a little bit. We understand the concept, the input and the output. We put Christ in us. It ought to come out of us. So, Jason, let's talk about some areas. Let's talk about the area of work. A lot of our listeners may be heading to work right now. And for a lot of folks, work is a toxic environment. The number one reason why people switch jobs today is not because of money. It's because of coworkers. And so there I am. I'm supposed to be a child of God at work. I've got people who lie. I got people who cheat. I got people who gossip. I got people who are mean and nasty. They love talking about how they party on the weekend. They seem to have no moral compass. It can be a real jungle out there. How can I have the right speed at work?
Colossians chapter 3 tells us, of course, to have set our mind on things that are above. Whatever we do in word or deed, we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. But I love how toward the end of that chapter, as Paul is talking specifically about bondservants in the context, he says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Get it in your mind. My Lord is Jesus. My Lord is not myself. My Lord is not first and foremost my boss, the person for whom I am working. I have a Lord who has told me what my ultimate destination is. It's bigger than retirement. It's bigger than climbing the corporate ladder. My destination is heaven. But on the way, how I work matters. Don't simply work by way of trying to please the boss when the boss is around and just being a people pleaser through eye service. Have sincerity of heart. Know who you are and whose you are. And right there in Colossians 3, we're being called in the workplace. Allow your light to shine. Okay, so there are those who are going to be very bad examples, who are going to roll around in the mud and the muck that so many entertain themselves with and just dig deeper and deeper and deeper down into that mud. Don't participate in that. Be better than that.
Let me also add, Jason, just a couple other thoughts. For a lot of people, and they've been told this at work, is that this job is your life. Well, that's not true. This job is not your life. If you were to pass away, you'd be replaced in 2 weeks. So our life is Jesus. Our life is being heaven bound. And so when people are in the darkness of sin, the light shines the brightest in the darkness. So you keep your spirit, you keep your attitude, you don't participate with things that are wrong, and you just manifest that, you'll be surprised how many people will come to you with questions, because you're a person of integrity, you're a person who knows the Lord, you're a person who seems to be honest and caring, and you'll find in the course of time people coming to you with Bible questions, with moral questions, with family issues, all because they understand you because you show Jesus Christ, your speedometer.
As parents and grandparents, it's absolutely vital that we get across to our children and our grandchildren. Work is important, but it's not the most important thing. School is important, but it's not the most important thing. So let's put it down at the level of school. Maybe a parent is listening to this podcast on the way to dropping off the child at school, and someone very young is listening to us. What would you say about this idea of the speedometer being where it needs to be for a young person going to school?
Well, especially middle school, that can be just ugly. That's going to be just ugly. Kids talking about each other, kids avoiding each other. We get this image in our mind of that one child sitting by himself because no one will be his friend. You're going to be different. You're like Jesus. You're going to do what's right. Here's this kid, maybe he looks a little different. Maybe he talks a little bit different, and everybody makes fun of that child. Not you, because you're going to be like Jesus. Here's everybody gossiping about somebody and making fun of somebody or doing pranks on somebody. You're not going to do that. You're going to be like Jesus. You're going to remember that golden rule, doing unto others as you would want them to do to you. And again, that idea of our speedometer, the idea of our output, showing others that we are Jesus. People are going to be more interested that you care first than what you believe.
Matthew chapter 22. Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment in the law? You love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. You love your neighbor as yourself. You get going on the road of discipleship. It begins on the inside with who's on the throne, what you love the most, and it begins to come outside in your way of life.
Now let's transition and talk about the home. How do we show Jesus at home? One of the big problems we sometimes have is we bring work home. And so we've had a bad day at work, and that becomes a bad day at home. The old illustration of you're mad at the dog, so you kick the cat. And so how do I show Jesus at home?
Begins with Jesus being the Lord of my home, right? And it moves from there to, in the midst of this day, whatever is going on this day, how would God be most glorified in my attitude, in my actions? Is he not only the Lord of our family on Sunday, but is he the Lord of our home on Monday night? What's that going to look like? That's going to look like spending time together, drawing the attention of those young and old to higher things than simply what the latest release on Netflix is. That's going to be involving at times being willing to acknowledge, you know what, there would have been a better way for me to handle that. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? That's going to grow to love like Jesus, to model Jesus and his relationship in the home. It's going to be learning respect and obedience. It's going to be discipline and instruction, all with the Lord right at the center of everything.
I knew a man one time who, when he came home, every day before he walked in that front door, he just kind of rubbed his hands over the shrubs. His wife looked at him one time. It was even wintertime he would do that. And she asked him, why do you do that? And his answer was, I'm leaving all the work on the outside, and I'm coming inside. And so it may help you just to say a prayer before you open that front door or you go in through the garage door and just, Lord, help me have a good attitude. These are the people I care about the most. These are the people I love the most. Help me show Jesus to these wonderful people you've given me. And then to work at that. We make mistakes. You learn from those mistakes. You keep putting the Lord in your heart. And as you're sitting through lessons and you hear lessons, you make the changes. You realize, you know what? I can step up. I can be different. That input will affect your output as you follow Jesus.
In so many ways, this all comes back to being like Jesus. Whether I'm at home, whether I'm at school, whether I'm at work, whatever it is, it's that principle from Luke 6, verse 40. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. That input, the spiritual fuel, helps me hear from the teacher. His example, his training helps my heart to get where it needs to be. And the speedometer is what is involved in actually living to be like him.
Imagine, if you could, that Jesus Christ walked in your shoes. You looked the same. You lived in the same house. You worked at the same job. But rather than you, it was Jesus. Do you think Jesus would see the people at school differently than you see them? Do you think the people you work around, Jesus would see differently than you do? Do you think the things that get you upset so easily and sometimes makes you lose your temper, do you think that would affect if that was Jesus sitting where you sit? If that was Jesus coming home to your home, how would things be different? This is that idea of the input and the output. Christ lives in me, is what the Apostle Paul said. And so that's the idea. We pour Jesus in, Jesus ought to come out. And that's the idea of seeing Jesus as it should be.
Fundamentally, his light shines in our lives, it shines in our heart, and we come to shine in everyday life so that others will see our good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Roger, thanks so much for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. As we have said before, you can find all sorts of resources, past episodes of this podcast, all sorts of sermon videos, Bible class videos, daily blogs, Jump Starts Daily. It's all there at charlestownroad.org. If you enjoyed today's episode and think that someone else could be helped by it, would you please take the time to share it on social media? Be sure, if you have not yet already subscribed, we would love for you to subscribe so that every time new content is added, it comes directly to you. Thanks for joining us today. We hope that our walk through this topic has helped you set your mind on things above. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.